a sitcom called Gilligan's Isle. Ah, you do, huh? You watched it too, huh? Gilligan's Island, huh? And where those seven people took off for a three-hour trip that ended up being 3 years series, huh? They were on that marooned island. Although, you know, during those 3 years while Gilligan's Island was on, you know, the shipwreck and they were on the island, how many people visited them? Hundreds. And got off, but Gilligan's folks never got off, did they, huh? Oh, yeah. Well, you know, it's amazing what happens when you have a shipwreck. The Apostle Paul had a shipwreck. It wasn't quite like Gilligan's Island, and it didn't last as long as Gilligan's Island. We'll talk about it in a moment in Acts chapter 27. So while I'm talking for a moment, you might want to take your Bibles or your iPads or however you read the Word and turn to Acts 27. Paul was a prisoner of Rome. He had been arrested for preaching the gospel. They had taken him already to Jerusalem, and he had gone through a series of court trials there. And Paul finally said to the authorities, you know, you really can't legally try me here because I'm a Roman citizen. If you're going to try me, you got to send me to Rome. Well, their judicial system back then was even slower than ours is today. And so Paul ended up in prison in the coastal city of Caesarea for a while. And when the appropriate time came, they took Paul and some other prisoners. They put them on board a ship and they sent them off to Rome. Now, back in Paul's day, that was a very long, very difficult journey especially because it was late in the fall and the sea was very turbulent during that time. And most ships did not sail at that time of the year. So in Acts chapter 27, it tells us about the perils there that were part of the journey Paul went through. It was really quite an adventure there. They were blown by the winds for about 14 days off the coast of what we call Malta. They didn't know where they were. They had not eaten for a long time, so I want us to hear just a part of the story. Acts chapter 27, beginning in verse 27. On the 14th day, on the 14th night, we were still being driven across the Adriatic Sea, when about midnight the sailors sensed they were approaching land. They took soundings and found that the water was 120 feet deep. A short time later, they took soundings again, and found that it was 90 feet deep. Fearing that we would be dashed against the rocks, they dropped four anchors from the stern and prayed for daylight. Some translations say they waited for daylight. I really think this Sunday morning that many of us here have a sense there is a feeling of unease. A sense of uneasiness in our culture, a sense of uncertainty about life itself. We've all been watching the news these days. We've been listening to all the reports. We see how we've been kind of chewed up by national politics. The war over there in Ukraine is in the news every day, and violence, it seems like, dominates all of our newscasts. At least it does on the ones I watch. Inflation seems to be eating away at our paychecks more every time, and all of us are pushed by gas prices that seem to rise and never seem to go down. And I think that maybe perhaps this morning we have a sense that our political climate and our culture and our economy that all have done damage to our families in these days. And in the church, we find ourselves in a time of transition. And I know that during times of transition, there's a sense of unease and a sense of uncertainty, and folks are always wondering, well, what's coming next? And so I sense this morning that my hand really doesn't need to be in your back trying somehow to push us forward today, but rather I think that my arm needs to be around us saying that we're going to get through this and that God will help us and give us the courage through difficult times. Now, if there's someone here today and you've never been through a storm, someone here today and your life has never been hurt and you've never been disappointed or lied about or anything bad happened to you, if you are here today and you never had more month, much more in the month than the end of your money, if you've never had any of those problems today, then please be patient with the rest of us. If you've never stayed up all night and had trouble going to sleep because you dreaded facing a new day, if you've never had the experience of waiting for the report to come back from the doctor, then be patient with the rest of us here this morning. Because I would like to talk to those who have cried themselves to sleep. I'd like to talk to those who have walked the floors of their homes at night. I'd like to talk to those who maybe have not heard from your children, or for those who have heard only bad news. Maybe the Word of God has something to say to us today about those circumstances. The Bible tells us it was a stormy time. The ship was rolling and tossing. The fierce winds were blowing. The smartest man on board was in chains, and he took over and told everybody else what to do. Paul knew they were drifting. He noticed some of the sailors were trying to get off the ship, and he was able to get them all back on there. The hero of the story was in chains, but God had given them the intelligence and the wisdom to bring them through the storm. And so in verse 29 it says that fearing that they would be dashed against the rocks, they dropped four anchors from the stern, and they waited, or they prayed, for daylight. What a verse to read. That verse reminds me this morning that life is a voyage, that life is really a journey, and that sometimes life is filled with fierce winds and angry seas and cries, and that sometimes you and I, we barely survive. And we don't understand how God helps us, but somehow God doesn't seem to work in my life like he seems to work with some televangelist that I know. Sometimes God is slower, and it takes me a while to catch on, and I strongly suspect that's the same for most of us today. And God steps in when our choices, our foolish choices, seem to come home to us and seek to destroy us. And the Lord has never failed us, but sometimes God just doesn't do it our way. So the question comes this morning, what do you and I do in the night? What do you and I do in what I call the dark night of the soul? Well, I really can't tell you what to do, but I can only tell you what I do in those dark nights of the soul when you face the problems that you face. Man said one time, "Pastor, you don't understand my problems. You never had to make payroll like I do." And I say, "Well, wait a minute. Let's back up just a moment. I had to get 700 or 800 people a week to all be in the same spot in the same place of real estate every week. And I had to get 10% of their income placed in the offering plates, and I didn't have any product to sell. I had 7 employees around there, and all of their families I had to take care of, and I had a multi-million-dollar property with all that needed to be taken care of by way of upkeep and repairs and utilities, and the only thing that I really had, except for the gospel, was perseverance and persuasion, and I did have to meet the payroll just like the businessman." Well, he said, "You know, I never thought about it that way. We all have problems. Now, when the storms roll in on me, let me tell you this morning about the anchors that I put out, and if you can use them when the storms roll in on your life, go ahead. 4 anchors that I put out when I get into the stormy times of life. First of all, the anchor I put out is the parade of faith. The parade of faith. Now, we have faith. We believe in the Lord Jesus Christ. Our hope is built on nothing less than Jesus' blood and righteousness. And all of that is head knowledge to most of us here this morning, and it seeps down into our lives when we're faced with a storm. But in the still of the night, I start calling up and start going through my personal creed when the storms start coming into my life. You see, I believe in the Lord Jesus Christ, who has called me and called all of us. He called us before He made the earth. And because of that, I believe that God is not ignorant of our circumstances. And I remind myself that if He knows the birds of the airs, and if He knows the fish of the sea, then He knows about you, and He knows about me, and He knows exactly what we're facing. But how does He know it? Some say, Pastor, give me a logical explanation. How does God know that? Well, I agree with Dag Hammarskjöld, the former Secretary of the United Nations, who was killed in a plane crash many, many years ago. His plane was flying across the Congo in Africa, and after the crash, they found his personal journal. And in his journal, he wrote this line, I know, but deeper than that, I know. I know, but deeper than that, I know. Now, when you first read that, those words could just sort of easily go by you. And then I realized what he was saying was, there is within us a knowledge of a person and the presence of God that is deeper than just mere head knowledge. There is within us a knowledge of the person and the presence of God that is deeper than just mere head knowledge. It isn't some kind of formula that you and I can write on a blackboard, or it's not some kind of thing that you and I can read in a book this morning, but it is a knowledge, a deep, profound knowledge. The knowledge that the sovereign God is God. And that sovereign God loves us, and you and I can know that God loves us, and we know it in a way that is beyond anything that you and I can explain. So we begin to believe in the sovereignty of God and not in the sovereignty of the storm that's around us. And when we put out the anchor of faith, we recall the times in our life when God has rescued us. And we go back to those times where God saved us from our sins and filled us with His Holy Spirit. And we look out the rearview mirror of our lives and we see those times and those places where God's hand and God's presence has been there all the way for us. And that's the anchor of faith. And we say with the writer of Lamentations, because of the Lord's great love, we are not consumed. For His compassions never fail. They are new every morning. Great is your faithfulness. And if you're going through the storm, let me just say, throw out the anchor of faith. The parade of faith, where God has helped you in the past, He's the same God today. He will help you in the future. Second anchor that I throw out is that I pray. I pray. Now, that's not just a few words about prayer. I'm talking about praying in the middle of the storm. When you and I are praying in the middle of the storm and the waves are lashing against your little boat, you don't stop and say, now, what was that formula Pastor Mike gave us last Sunday? No, a drowning man just cries out for help, and God hears that clearly, and God comes down in the unvarnished depths of our soul, and that prayer comes out of something that hurts very deeply. The Bible tells us to knock, and it shall be opened to you. And I want to remind us today that sometimes we have to knock and knock and knock until we get bloody knuckles. That's what that passage really means here. It says, God is calling us to pray like people with bloody knuckles. And sometimes it is a desperate, middle-of-the-night kind of prayer, walking the floors of your house kind of praying. Sometimes it is praying when you can't find words to put around your feelings. And you begin to move into a depth beyond words. You move into groaning and sobs, and somehow you cry out with those groanings that are too deep to be reduced to words. And God hears those groanings that you bring before God. And when you're praying like that, God hears you. Those deep, profound issues of our hearts and our lives and frustrations. And as we bring them before God, those people for whom you are concerned, those difficulties that you face, those fears that seem to stalk you, in the storm, I throw out the anchor of faith. To know that God has promised that when we pray, He hears us as we pray. But there's a third anchor there. I throw out the anchor of hope. The anchor of hope. Now, I think this morning hope is a really misunderstood kind of thing. It's one of the hardest things to talk about, not because of a lack of hope, but because hope is so hard to define. Now, before the days of Wikipedia, when you look up everything online, we used to have encyclopedias. Anybody remember those things? The encyclopedia guy coming around knocking on your door to sell you, okay. The Encyclopedia Britannica used to have a very large section on faith and love, but not a word on hope. Hope sort of gets pushed aside. We talk about the hope that is within us, but just try to define hope sometimes. But, it made the big three. Now abideth faith, hope, and love. And we can live with faith and love, but living with hope is really what carries us through. If you have become hopeless, then I want to tell you, there's no hope at all for you. If you have become hopeless, then you are lost. If you have become hopeless, then you're really down in the depths this Sunday morning. Martin Luther once said, everything done in this world is done on hope. It was Ralph Emerson who said, and I like this, you cannot put a great hope in a small soul. God has given us a great hope. Hope is a confidence that God is going to work out things in the future all right. Now, we've already been given a down payment on that future in that we have been forgiven and sealed by the Holy Spirit of God. Sealed by the Spirit carries the idea that we have God's seal on us, and God says, He is mine, she is mine. God has already put that hope within us, so why in the name of all that is holy do we put our hope in this world? Why do we put our hope in the stock market? Why do we put our hope in a political house of cards? Why do we put our hope in investments, things the world stands on? Our hope is built on nothing less than Jesus' blood and righteousness. And though the storms may blow against us, the hope that is in the Lord Jesus Christ is what we stand on this morning. They tell us that when the Allies went into Buchenwald, that one of those German concentration camps at the end of World War II, they found among all the horrors of that death camp, they found some amazing things there. They found that those people who had been herded up like cattle and in those horrible conditions, those people that had watched their family and their friends gassed to death by the thousands and put in those crematoriums there, those people that had been forced to do hard labor, starting before sunrise and not ending until after sunset every day, and then given only a thin bowl of soup to eat until many of them starved to death. Instead of collapsing in their bunks, the medical personnel in that concentration camp, those prisoners with any kind of medical background, began to get together. They met after the lights were out, and they formed a medical society in that concentration camp in Buchenwald. Every night, they went over the patient list, the problems they were dealing with, with the medical needs that were there. They even did something else. They began to smuggle things in and around. They found some ways to bribe the guards until they actually built an X-ray machine. So when some fellow prisoners had problems, they would take some X-rays and they would care for the patient as best they could with the little resources that they had in that camp. And when the Allied soldiers went into that camp and liberated the prisoners, they found when they went in that medical society was in their meeting. They did not rejoice in their deliverance all at once until they had finished their meeting. And then they came out and said, "The medical society we formed here was our hope during all these horrible days." And they were held together by the hope and by the structure of that medical society. There was an article out some time ago that said, "Patients who suffer great illness recover according to the amount of hope they have. And patients who do not believe they're going to get better generally do not get better. Patients who believe they have hope do better than patients who do not believe they have hope." So let me tell you, when you're facing the winds, when your boat is being pushed, when you're not sure God is there, when life doesn't work out the way that you thought it would, put out the anchor of hope. "My hope is built on nothing less than Jesus' blood and righteousness." But there's one more anchor I put out, and I would suggest to you this morning, it's also hard to explain. When you study the word worry in the New Testament, there's something that you and I should, some things that we should not worry about. The Bible says, don't worry about what you eat or drink or what you're going to wear. But you push that word really hard and you find out there are some legitimate worries. One of the worries the Apostle Paul had was his constant concern about the churches. Because after he started those churches, he was always concerned about them. And I think every pastor knows that issue. Every pastor knows what it is to carry that weight. It's not the work you do as a pastor that weighs on you. But, you know, it's the things, that the weight of the congregation that begins to grind on you. And every pastor, every board member, every church member ought to read regularly the words of Jesus in Matthew 16, where Jesus talks about the church and he says, "Upon this rock I will build my church." And I remind us, I don't build it. Nowhere in the Bible does it tell us that we build the kingdom of God. The kingdom of God is a seed, and we just plant it, and God waters it, and God gives the increase. So what is that fourth anchor? The fourth anchor I throw out is the anchor of release. Of release. Lord, I have this pastoral responsibility, but these are your people. This is your flock. And I release them to you. That doesn't mean a pastor walks away from it or that we turn our backs on it, but we understand in the battle, God is with us. So, Lord, I release that parent. I release that child. I release that disease. I release those circumstances, or my employer, or my boss. I release that marriage situation. Whatever it is, oh God, I give it totally to you. Lord, I can no longer carry that. Lord, would you get under this with me, because I can't carry it alone, and I release it to God. And many times what God does is, he doesn't lift things off of us, but He gives us the strength and the power in order to carry what life brings to us. And I find that when I release things to Him, all of a sudden I find the strength to carry it. Now, I hope that doesn't sound like I'm super spiritual. That's not at all. But I want you to get hold of that. We need to understand, God, I can't carry Him any longer. I can't carry her any longer. I can't carry that thing any longer. Lord, it's yours. Take it and do with it as you see fit. But too often we give things to God and then we take them back from God because somehow we really don't believe that God is big enough to carry them. I release, hands down, to God. Now, there's something you and I might miss in these few verses I just read. The Bible says they put out the four anchors and then they, depending on your translation, they prayed till dawn or they waited till dawn. How many of you love to wait? Love to wait. Well, you know, we spend our life waiting, don't we? We wait in traffic lights. We wait in grocery lines. We're the 25th person at Walmart in that line with only one checkout person. We wait, you know. We wait. We wait for the phone to ring. We wait for the letter to arrive. We wait for the email to come. We spend our lives waiting. And in the gospel we read that they waited for the Lord to come, and now we wait for the Lord to return, and they waited for the dawn, and it came. They were rescued. But it was slow. It was slow. So let me ask some of us here this morning, how is your boat doing today? How are things in the midst of the storm? How are you sleeping? How are your nerves? How much of your day is taken up with worry as the storms of life pound away until they get down to just where you are, where you live? Let me recommend this Sunday morning four anchors to re-examine the foundation of your faith, to pour out your heart to God in prayer. Don't lose hope. God is with you. And release it to God. Give it to the Lord and wait and see what God is going to do. Because God, being God, will always come through. Maybe not on your timeline, maybe not on my timeline, but God is faithful. And I think this morning nothing could express what I've been trying to say this morning than the words of the hymn, and I've quoted it to you a couple of times, the words we're going to throw up on the screen. And I want you to join with me as we sort of sing our expression of faith that when the storms of life come, God is there. He's the anchor because He is the solid rock on which you and I can stand. So would you stand this morning? And let's sing the words. I think they're going to be up on the screen for us in a moment. There they're coming. My hope is built on nothing less. We know that, don't we? My hope is built on nothing less than Jesus' blood and righteousness. I dare not trust the sweetest frame, but wholly lean on Jesus' name. On Christ the solid rock I stand, all other ground is sinking sand. All other ground is sinking sand. Sing it again. on Christ the solid. All other ground is sinking sand. All other ground is sinking sand. And Father, we believe that this morning. Whatever else we put our hope in is sinking sand. But you are the God who is the solid rock. And we thank you for it. We don't know this morning what some of our folks are going through. We've a long list of prayer requests. We know those folks. We see their needs. But there are folks standing here in this sanctuary today and, that are facing some storms in life, and you know all about them. Things that maybe others in the congregation know nothing about, but you know. And I pray this morning that when the storms of life come, would you help us throw out the anchors that hold us steady? And pray till the dawn comes when God breaks through. Until you prove yourself once again that you are the anchor, you are the rock on which we stand. And as we go about our days, though things around us may sometimes be cloudy and gloomy and stormy, to know that inside, there is a peace that passes understanding because our God is carrying us through. So with that confidence, we face our day and pray you'll go with us today and through this week. And may the blessing of the God of grace fill our hearts and lives with your presence and help us every day to release it all to you. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. God bless you. Have a great day in the Lord today.